Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Recently, I've had fantastic conversations with dearly beloved saints of Christ. And it's quite amazing that so many of us have been saved for even decades and don't really know scripture concerning Christ. We call it Christology, or the study of Christ. And you know, if you step back for a minute, you should be scratching your head. And here we are claiming that we're God's children, that Jesus saved us. But overall, in the professing body of Christ, the professing church world, is very little taught of Christology or about Christ himself. And one of those points would be that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, which is an absolute essential tenet of the Christian faith. No one who denies that Jesus Christ is divine has eternal life. One of the dear brothers I had this rich discussion with recently has taken down and is going and studying each and every one of these verses and more that we're going to talk about here in this short message. Notice 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 speaks of the record. Yeah, the record. In any court case, there is something called the record, or the vital information on the whole case. The official definition of what's called the record is this: a written memorial of all the acts and proceedings in an action or suit in a court of record. So we see that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, where the scripture speaks about the record of the Son of God. Notice, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. The Holy Spirit would be the witness, and the Word of God. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Well, here's why. We call God a liar when we don't believe what God said about his only begotten Son, the Messiah. Because he believeth not the record, there it is, the record that God gave of his Son. Now, we're coming out with a message shortly in the coming days called the record that God gave of his Son. Now, let me read this verse again, because this is vital. This is 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, and I'm encouraging you as a student of Holy Scripture. Everyone who is known by the Savior is a student and should be a diligent student of Holy Scripture, which is also called the record that God gave of who? Of his Son. You see, Jesus Christ is the sacred substance of the Scriptures. He is the central theme of everything in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He is the living Word of God. Among many other things, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is our salvation. He is eternal life. He is the Word and the Lamb of God, according to John chapter 1. He is the living water, John 4, the bread of life, John 6, the light of the world, John 8, the door by which we enter his kingdom, John 10, the good shepherd, John 10, the resurrection and the life, John 11, the way, the truth, and the life, John 14. Also, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Almighty, according to the book of Revelation. And everything about him that God wanted us to know is in the what? The record that God gave of his Son, and that's the Holy Scriptures. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because He believeth not the record that God gave of his son. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the cardinal truths of the record that God gave of his son is that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He is divine. Now, and before we establish that from the scriptures, let me say this about the record. The truth of Christ is stated on, quote unquote, the record. That's biblical wording, the record. Here and in heaven, and is tangible. It's the tangible source for all to see and know. The record reveals the Lord who came to reconcile us, fallen mankind, to the Father according to the whole counsel of Scripture. Now, we're talking about Jesus being God Almighty. That's just going to be one tenet that we're going to talk about, since I had a recent conversation about it with a dear brother, and most of all because it's so essential that we realize from the Scriptures and we take God at His word that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Denying, quote, the record that God gave of his son makes one an unsaved antichrist. Among other things, the record of God reveals that Jesus Christ is God and he was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, God, quote, God was manifest in the flesh. Now, was that the Father? Was that the Holy Spirit? No. But was it the Son of God? Yes, it was the Son of God. God was manifest in the flesh. And so that is one of many Bible verses that prove and demonstrate that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. I'm going to simply give you a few verses that I'm going to quote to you that I want you to take down, and I want you to go in your Bible, and I want you to cross-reference all of these verses to tie them all together so that it's established in your heart that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Now, this has never been more important in history since we are in the final days before Jesus returns. The scripture tells us that Satan hath come down with great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. He only has a short time, Revelation 12:12. And so he's coming down with great wrath. Now, in our day, I've noticed recently that there is a growing and roving group of antichrist, a veritable brood of vipers or snakes, who are going around perpetrating the lie that, quote, there was nothing special about the blood of Jesus, unquote, including John MacArthur, and that Jesus Christ is not God. Okay, they're striking at the heart of the original gospel, and they are contradicting the record that God gave of his son in his word. These are some of the vilest of antichrists anywhere on the planet, and they are preaching a bloodless gospel of a non-divine Savior who did not have the blood of the Father in his veins, which means he could not have redeemed fallen mankind, because if he had otherwise the blood of a fallen man as his father in his veins, that would have been contaminated blood that would not have been accepted by the Father as a sacrifice for man's sins. Notice 2 John verse 9. 2 John verse 9 tells us this: whosoever transgresseth and abideth, or does not continue or remain in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, that's another term I want to call your attention to. Now, we've already talked about the Apostle John's wording in 1 John 5:10, the record that God gave of his son. We have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation from the great Apostle John, okay? And he says this in 2nd John in verse 9, it's only one chapter, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not, or does not continue in or remain in the doctrine of Christ. Now, if you didn't previously understand that correct, sound doctrine, in other words, the scriptures themselves, believing what they say of and about the Lord, is important, then you should embrace that truth now. Because God is saying here that if we don't remain in the what? The doctrine of Christ. That's another paramount phrase divinely inspired, that we should capture the doctrine of Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ? It's the beliefs we get from the knowledge of the Word of God. It's who God says His only begotten Son is, right in His own Word, tangible or available to each of us. Okay, let me read the whole verse, 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not, or does not continue or remain in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. So we see there that this is an absolute essential to salvation. You must believe, my friend, the record that God gave of His Son. You must believe, quote, the doctrine of Christ. That is, what is revealed about Christ in the Scriptures. Jesus said in John 8:24 that if you don't believe that I am He, that is the prophesied Messiah, that would include that He was born of a virgin and that He was the mighty God, Book of Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9, then you cannot and will not be saved. You are going to die in your sins. So let's read the verse through. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, there's that phrase again, he hath both the Father and the Son. We only have the Father and the Son as we abide. We remain in what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. If we remain in what? The doctrine of Christ. We have both the Father and the Son. So at the heart of quote unquote the doctrine of Christ is the precious blood that was the divine blood of God in the veins of Jesus. So as the Father ordained it, and the only way that it could be so, He was born of a virgin who was impregnated as the Holy Spirit came over her. And she was to bear He who was going to be Emmanuel, or God with us. Now let's move into the divinity of Jesus Christ. And notice in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 7, verse 14 said, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. And here's the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin is going to conceive. Now think about what that means. A woman having a baby who has never been known by a man. This is the first time this was ever going to happen in history. A divine miracle like no other. And it would be the last time. A virgin shall conceive. Now, I want you to think Christology, the study of Christ. You'll recall in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, after mankind had fallen, in the same chapter, we see the first messianic prophecy of how Jesus was going to be the seed of the woman. Now, how does that happen? Only by the miracle of God. And He was going to crush the head of the serpent, which is Satan, who had caused the fall of mankind, by telling the man and woman that they could sin against God, who is holy, 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 and there would be no consequence. But they found out the hard way that the wages of sin is death. The payment for your sin is death, or separation from God. So immediately
after mankind had sinned against God and was therefore separated from Him,
the Lord institutes and declares in verse 15 of Genesis 3, I will put enmity, that's the strongest word for hate, between thee, that is, the serpent or Satan and his children, that would refer to, between thee, I'm going to put a enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That would be apparently the people of God and the people of Satan. There's a natural enmity or a separation. There's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the seed of the woman was going to be Jesus, the eternal Word of God. And He was going to temporarily suffer the death of the cross, which is likened into a mere bruising of His heel, while He was going to crush or bruise the head of Satan. Think about the difference. If you have a head injury, that's major, serious. If you have a heel foot injury, that's a temporary affliction. So Jesus was going to come and crush under His foot the devil,
who had caused the fall of mankind, who was cast out of heaven previous to that, and was going to be defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ, shedding his sinless, perfect blood, which could only be possible if he was born of a virgin by God Almighty with the blood of heaven in his veins. Notice chapter 16 of the book of Romans. You got to love this verse. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Listen to this. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So Jesus, in dying on the cross, triumphing over Satan in this crucifixion, defeated Satan at the cross. Colossians chapter 2. But the ultimate enforcement of his victory is still to come. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This is written after Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised again from the dead, and we're still awaiting the promise of his return, which could be at any moment now. And ultimately, Revelation chapter 20, Satan is going to be cast into the bottomless pit. Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Notice, is Jesus Christ. Did we know before Jesus came that he was going to be God? Yes. Notice right here. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, the fulfillment of this verse in the New Testament is found in Matthew 1:21-23. And she shall bring forth a son. That's Mary, the virgin that Isaiah prophesied about, who would conceive the Messiah, who would come to the earth, God with us, to redeem fallen mankind. This is the woman, the virgin woman, that the seed of God, the eternal word Jesus Christ, was going to be born from, made flesh to dwell among us, to die for our sins, to reconcile us back to him and the Father. Okay, Matthew 1:21-23. And she shall bring forth a son, that's Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, all caps, all capital letters. For he shall save his people from their sin. That's why he came. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, that would be Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. There it is again. And here's the interpretation, which being interpreted is God with us. There it is, God with us. So was Jesus God Almighty? Yes, from eternity past. He has no beginning or end. He's all God and he's all man. This is part of the mystery of godliness, that Jesus Christ would be manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Now notice though, we're asking and answering the question, is Jesus Christ God? Yes, Jesus Christ is God. We knew that before he came. We knew it because in Isaiah, we just read Isaiah 7:14 and the fulfillment in Matthew 1:21-23, that Jesus was going to be Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God. Who is he? God with us. The eternal word of God came and he pitched his tent among us. John chapter 1, verse 1-4 and 14, etc. John 1 is a Christology chapter for sure. In the beginning was the Word, that's the capital W word, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There it is, answering our question again, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. All things were made by Jesus Christ. All things were made by Jesus Christ. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There you go. That was Jesus Christ. God the Father, that is, has created all things by Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 tells us. Colossians 1:16-17 tells us that all things were created by him, by Jesus Christ, and for him. He is also the sustainer of all of life that he created. Verse 16-17 of Colossians chapter 1. So John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There was nothing created that was not created by Jesus Christ. Again, that answers that he is God Almighty. In him was life, verse 4, and the life was the light of men. Verse 10, John 1, he was in the world. Jesus came. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, right? Through a virgin with the blood of his Father in his veins. He was in the world, and the world was what? Made. By who? By him. Remember, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Who was that specifically? It was Jesus Christ. And the world knew him not. Notice verse 14. And the Word, again, capital W, the divine Word of God, Jesus Christ, was made flesh. That certainly we know that wasn't the Father or the Holy Spirit. No, it was Jesus. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in this message, we're talking about the record that God gave of his Son, the doctrine of Christ, which is that he is everything the scripture says about him, but we're just isolating one part of that in this message, and that's that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Notice, as we come in for a landing here, also in the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Again, we're asking and answering the question. We're getting the answer from the scripture. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That's a big question. We know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews 13:8. That means he's still asking us, you and I, the question, the exact questions today that he asked his disciples. He asked a two-pronged question, or two different questions, in Matthew 16, verse 13 and 15. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's asking us, who are people? We mentioned this earlier about the roving hordes of antichrist going around, and they are seeking to denigrate the essential cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, such as claiming that Jesus Christ's blood has no power in it. John MacArthur and many others. I think it's the Way International cult that teaches that also. Also, they deny the divinity of Jesus Christ. So men like this are denying the record that God gave of his Son, seemingly a phrase synonymous with the doctrine of Christ. Two phrases we see verbatim in the scripture. So we're answering Jesus as we look about and we look around us in this fallen world. We see what men are saying about Jesus. And notice he asked them, this is Matthew 16:13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who are they saying I am? Then he says in verse 15, Matthew 16, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you, my friend, say that Jesus is? You see, Jesus is asking each of us, what are others saying of me? And who do you say that I am? In other words, perhaps he's asking us, in a world of many swirling ideas and doctrines and notions, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do you know me to be? And I would stop right there and say, friend, this underscores the necessity of your study of Christ. Now, it's interesting how we'll go into the Bible and we will find every promise of God. And this is not bad. That's okay. If it's in there, it's for you. He gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But doesn't it seem odd that we don't stop and study who God himself is, the doctrine of God, which is another verbatim quote from the scripture? Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Also, the record that God gave of his Son, the doctrine of Christ. Why don't we study him more? That should convict us from now until we're with him. Amen. And let me ask you this, beloved. Who do you say that he is? Didn't Jesus say that ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God? Matthew 22, verse 29. Do you know the scriptures? And we're going over some of them right now, which is going to be huge in the foundation of your life, beloved. Now, are you personally able to articulate or navigate the scriptures concerning who Christ is according to the record that God gave of his Son, according to sound doctrine of the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9 and 1 John chapter 5, verse 10.
Christology is the ultimate cornerstone component of a foundation that's built by God. You must know who Jesus is from the scriptures. And in order to be able to share who he is, but also to relate with him, he is God Almighty. If you, right now, my friend, were asked to give a 5-minute talk to a small group around a campfire about the uniqueness and the exclusivity and the divinity of Jesus Christ from the Bible, I want to ask you, beloved, would you be able to do that? I hope you would. Now, after this message, you can replay this, and I want you to send this to 3 or 5 of your friends, because this is so important in the foundation of the lives of those who profess to know Jesus. Okay, so let's come in for a landing here. We're going to cover just this scripture, maybe 1 or 2 more, and that's it. We have a message on safeguardyoursoul.com that's absolutely monumental, and it's called Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. That's it. Just put that into the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com, and you will have an incredible track to run on with scripture about the divinity of Jesus Christ and other things. It's absolutely amazing. On the desktop version of Safeguard Your Soul, on the right side of every page is a drop-down menu. It's a category menu. You can go to C, just hit C, and it'll come right up. It's all alphabetically listed. There's over 200 categories, biblical categories, for you to be richly imbued with the Word of God and have the foundation of God through the Word of God itself built in your life. Go to the C's, and there's a Christology category with numerous posts. Probably half or more of them have podcasts with them and written text. Okay, so as we come in for a close, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Notice what we see written over 700 years before Christ came to the earth. And again, this is over 700 years prior to Jesus being born of a virgin. So the Holy Spirit is foretelling details about the Messiah before Jesus came to the earth of who he would be. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. See, he already existed as God with no beginning or ending. And the government, it says, the scripture says, shall be upon his shoulder. Ultimately, especially the government, he is going to reign. Christ's government is going to be set up on the earth, and it will be headquartered in the New Jerusalem, which Revelation 21 says is coming down out of heaven. And that's going to be the dwelling place of the reigning King of Kings himself, Jesus Christ, and the elect remnant of God, the born-again believers who have been born again, and they abide and endure to the end. They're going to be with Christ. Okay, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name, that's Jesus Christ, this child that was to be born of the Virgin, and his name shall be called, capital W, Wonderful Counselor. Notice this, the Mighty God. Let me say it again. Jesus was foretold before he came to be the Mighty. He's going to be the Mighty God. There should be no question. Somebody says, well, I don't understand it all. Well, join the club. We're finite. He's infinite. We're mere flesh. Amen. But we just go by the fact that God said it, and he said it repeatedly. Remember, we just read a minute ago that Jesus in Isaiah 7:14 was going to be Emmanuel, and that is God with us. That's what it means, Matthew 1:21-23. Now we're reading that Jesus, before he came, was going to be the Mighty God. In fact, in Micah 5:2, it says he is from everlasting. Only God could be from everlasting. And he was going to be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. There were two Bethlehems at that time. And the Holy Spirit even got so minutely detailed about Jesus being born in Bethlehem so as to dispel all doubt by giving us the specific Bethlehem that Jesus would be born in, and it would be Bethlehem Ephratah. The specific Bethlehem, town of Bethlehem, that he was going to be born in was prophesied by the prophet Micah in chapter 5, verse 2. And it says that he would be from everlasting. In other words, he has no beginning or ending because he is God. Again, another clear reference to the divinity of Jesus Christ. Here in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the mighty God. Stop and think about that. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Amen. So Jesus Christ was foretold to be God, and that's exactly who he was and is and always has been. In fact, in John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And notice here in verse 24 of John 8, the same chapter, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you, that's the Pharisees, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, that's the eternal name of God, that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. And part of believing who he is knowing that he is God Almighty, which he would later say in that chapter, that before Abraham was, I am. So did Jesus Christ identify himself as God Almighty, as the Messiah, as the mighty God, Isaiah 9:6-7? Well, he sure did on numerous occasions, including here in John chapter 8. So when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, this is one of the eternal names of God, the term or the word, the name I am, proving that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, existed before Abraham, which in and of itself identifies him as God Almighty. The Jews understood that he applied this name to himself, thus declaring his deity. And this is why they wanted to kill him. And so just after this, in John 10:30-31, it says, Jesus said, I and my Father are one, clearly identifying himself as God Almighty. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And it was because specifically that he identified himself as God Almighty, which they should have known, because their own prophet Isaiah said that the Messiah would be the mighty God and Emmanuel, which is God with us. So they knew their Messiah was going to be divine. I am is a title for God. J. Oswald Sanders said this of the deity of Jesus. He said, the deity of Christ is the key doctrine of the scriptures. Reject it, and the Bible becomes a jumble of words without any unifying theme. Accept it, and the Bible becomes an intelligible and ordered revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice when Thomas, the previous doubting Thomas, as he's called, thrust his hands into the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, he declared, my Lord and my God. Notice Jesus did not argue with him. He did not correct him. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. Thomas again said, my Lord and my God. John 20:28. One more, Philippians 2. Now, this is not exhaustive, friends. I'm just trying to kickstart, if you will, or springboard you into a study of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we have posts and podcasts like this, to establish you in him. We can't be established in him unless we're studying him, and I mean specifically him, as our central topic. He is the central theme, the cardinal theme of all of Scripture. And if we miss him in the text of Scripture, we've missed everything. The Christology category and Safeguard Your Soul, it would be safeguardyoursoul.com/Christology, is a wealth of biblical knowledge to help you be established in the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. Notice here, being in the form of God, Philippians 2:6, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he is God. He always has been and always will be. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means that past, present, and future, he is God. He is divine. He knows and tells the end from the beginning.
And by the way, that's how we know the Bible is the only holy book on the planet. God foretold hundreds and even thousands of years before things happened. He foretold exactly how they would happen, and they did. Not one of these promises shall fail. Isaiah 34:16. And he inhabits eternity. Isaiah 46:9-10, and also 57:15. Back to Philippians chapter 2, speaking specifically of Jesus Christ, notice that it says he is equal with God. Why? Because he is God. Notice John 5:18, therefore the Jews sought to kill him because he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They understood that he was making himself equal with God, and he was, because he is the I am. After that, in John 8:58, as I quoted earlier, before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. That is, before Abraham, Jesus Christ existed, even though Abraham was born on the earth some approximately 2,000 years before Christ was manifest and born of a virgin. So he's telling them, and these Jews were knowledgeable of the scriptures, and he's telling them that he existed before Abraham existed. And they call Abraham their father. So do you think they understood what he was saying? Absolutely. 100%. Before Abraham, Jesus Christ existed because he is eternal. He's divine. So he has no beginning nor ending. Okay, remember John chapter 1, as we read earlier. It said in verse 1, the first verse of the book, the Gospel of John, in the beginning. What is that? That's all the way as far back as you can go, which is infinity. That's the only way in the English language that this can be expressed. In the beginning was the Word. That's Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he was with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he was also God. The same was what? In the beginning with God. Also, that's John 1. Also, Revelation 1:8, I am, Jesus said, Alpha and Omega. The what? The beginning. Are you hearing this? And the ending. He is eternal. He is divine. He has no beginning or ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He inhabits eternity, Isaiah 57:15. He dwelt with the Father from eternity past. Notice John 10:33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So they got it. Jesus, somebody said, well, did Jesus ever say he was God? Of course he did. Read the book of John. In chapter 5, verse 18 of John, the Bible says the Jews took up stones to stone Jesus because he made himself equal with God. Chapter 1 tells us several times that Jesus Christ is divine. And throughout this glorious gospel of John, we see the divinity of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you here at this juncture, friend, to make John, the gospel of John, a focal point for your life and studying it one chapter at a time for the next month. And you'll do well to cross-reference every time we see Jesus declaring that he is God Almighty. John 8:58, our Lord Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. What is that saying? He existed forever. He is from everlasting. Micah 5:2. And he did not correct them when they said that you, being a man, Jesus, quote, makest thyself God. So absolutely, Jesus stated himself, as well as all the prophets, that he is and as the Messiah was going to be God. We know before he came, at least hundreds of years before he came, it was foretold that he would be God. And remember, in John 8:24, Jesus said, if you don't believe that he is, and that would be that he is God Almighty and the Messiah, you cannot be saved. You will die in your sins, which is a clincher and clear evidence that anybody who does not believe that Jesus Christ
Christ as God Almighty, has rejected the doctrine of Christ, has rejected the record that God gave of his Son, and is an antichrist that is as sure for hell as if he was already there. Make no mistake, believing that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, as the messianic prophecies and fulfillments have clearly demonstrated throughout this message in the Holy Scriptures, is an absolute essential to eternal life with Christ. Anybody who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is God is an antichrist. Such a man has called God a liar and has despised and rejected the record that God gave of his Son, that Jesus Christ would be the mighty God, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Such a man has rejected the divine declaration that he, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be born of a virgin and would be Emmanuel, God with us. And the scriptures that we have covered today, which is the record that God gave of his Son, 1 John 5, verse 10, have clearly shown that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is God Almighty. As we close, let us remember, saints, that of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, this is the true God and eternal life. 1 John 5, 20 and 21. Jesus himself said, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am Alpha, capital A, and Omega, capital O, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, quote unquote. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. What a blessed, beautiful study this has been, friends. I want you to get into this Jesus Christ is God page. Just put it into the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com and go through it. It's not even that long. And you will be greatly increased in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. So if we're not studying Jesus, that tells us and tells God most of all that he is not being honored, because God will not, the Father will not be honored unless we honor the Son. John 5:23. He that honoreth, Jesus said, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. And anybody who is honoring Jesus truly is searching the scriptures to see Jesus for who he really is in all of his full glory and divine revelation that he will manifest himself in to us through the Holy Scriptures. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministries, disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.